So thank you, everybody. Good morning and welcome. We'll get going in just a couple of minutes. I want to give people time to join. My name is Paul Ross. I'm very excited for the opportunity to be sharing with you today, to be your teacher and guide. Before we get started exploring this wonderful world of subconscious influence and subtle selling together, I just want to say, I don't know at which point you might stop and find yourself growing more and more excited about what it is you're going to be using this in your sales and in your daily life. But as that's taking place, I just want to say that I am so pleased and thrilled that a great learning is going to take place today. Can we all agree that that's what's happening? So right then and there, I'm already demonstrating some ways to use suggestive language. I'm going to wait for, here is my executive director. So this is real life. I am presenting to you vulnerably as I am, and I am owned by kitty cats, so you will see cats coming back and forth. I have two of them. I have Miss Necca Jane, and I have Prunilla Jones. I actually hired a cat sitter to come in and make sure they don't disconnect the calls. They've been known to do that. My cats are basically the ones who run the show. If you are owned by cats, you understand that. I do want to start by acknowledging how many participants we have. Wow, I'm thrilled to be able to share with so many people today. So I want to say hello, shouts out to Gretchen, to Abner, to Anna, Bianca, Bob. There's so many of you, Courtney, Brockton. I want to say thank you to my Stigula family who's here today. Hello to my PMB family. I'm a new member of that family. Thank you for focus. I'm running on focus today because I only got about 5 hours of sleep. But those of you who know that product know it's absolutely amazing. So just type 7 in the chat window if you're ready to learn some absolutely amazing, mind-blowing concepts and ideas. I do want to make a few things clear. This is not going to be a conventional lecture. This is going to be a teaching session. So that means from time to time, I'm going to ask for shares, I'm going to ask for ahas, and we have some special things planned for you, some surprises. After lunch, we're going to be raffling off 10 Amazon gift cards, $20 each. So make sure you stay tuned. After lunch, you have to be present to win. We're going to start out. I'm going to explain the conceptual ideas behind my system of selling. I believe that it's important to get the concepts, to get the deep transformational understandings before we go to the tools. Now, I will be giving you tools. I'll be giving you word-for-word examples. And I want to make a wild claim, a crazy claim, off-the-wall claim. You're not supposed to make claims about results, but if you use just 10% of what I teach you today, just 10%, as you find yourself naturally, easily, willingly, and surprisingly, automatically incorporating what I teach you today, if you just use 10% of it, you will see a 10 to 15% increase in your sales. So 7 in the chat window, if that excites you. If it excites you, the concept of increasing your sales by 10 to 15%, just by using 10% of what I'm teaching, that's a lot of percentages. So if that excites you, just type hell yeah in the chat window. Let's see some hell yeahs, if that's an exciting thing for you. Now, I also want to tell you that this is some pretty off-the-wall stuff. You're going to be challenged by what you learned today. This is not something where you can be looking at your cell phone or checking your Facebook Instant Messenger or Neck is bothering me already or checking your Tinder. Not that I know anything about Tinder. I don't know anything about it. How many likes on Tinder do I have? This is something that's really going to require your focus and attention. And I want to be absolutely honest with you today and quite transparently and vulnerably reveal that I have an ulterior motive today. Yes, I want to give you amazing results, but my ulterior motive is I want you to fall in love. I want you to fall in love with the power of language to transform profoundly, not just how you understand selling, not just the results you get from selling, but begin an inner transformation. You see, what's different between what I teach and what other stuff you may have used, and I'm not here to knock any other system. I'm sure that you've taken sales trainings and they've really worked for you. But what's different is I come at this from a completely off-the-wall, crazy I'm going to use the term batshit crazy. People have said to me, Paul, you are batshit crazy, but your stuff is genius. I'll take the batshit crazy stuff. So if you're ready for batshit crazy stuff that is completely off the wall, unlike anything you've learned before, let's get a hell yes in the chat window on that one. Let me tell you what I mean by this. See, there's three possible responses you can have to what I teach today. One response is, yeah, I already know that. I've already done it. No big deal, Paul. What are you going on about? Second response you may have is, well, that's a little off the wall, but I can see myself doing it. But the third response that you're most likely to have frequently throughout this training together, throughout this sharing together, is, okay, that is batshit crazy. There's no way I could do that. Paul is off his rocker. When you find those responses coming up today, and you will, I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you to get excited, to feel that curiosity you felt when you were a child, first exploring your world. The curiosity you felt, and I don't know how well you can remember this as I describe it to you, but remember when you were a little child, you lay on the grass and you looked up at the sky and you found patterns in the clouds. Maybe you told yourself stories about what you saw up in the clouds. That childlike imagination, that sense of wonder, is far more important to learning revolutionary concepts of a serious, I've got to get this right. So we're going to move out of the schoolhouse way of learning. The schoolhouse way of learning is they tell you things, you write it down, you memorize it, and then you throw it up on the test. I call it educational bulimia. But you don't get any real understanding. So today my aim is not just to give you tools. Don't get me wrong. I'm going to give you word-for-word examples you can use, and you will increase your sales by 10, 15% just by taking what I tell you, writing it down, or going it through me enough where you can memorize it, and the replay is going to be available. So that's another thing. If you want to take notes, you can. I encourage you not to take notes. Taking notes, again, encourages that unconscious processing on the schoolhouse level where you just take it in and you throw it up and you don't remember it. I want you guys to go out and use this. If all I do is entertain you today, and I will entertain you today, and this will be fascinating, and you'll want to think at some point, wow, this is amazing. Keep teaching. And I'll give you everything I can. And that said, I'm not going to just entertain. I want to fundamentally transform the way you look at selling. You see, if you just mimic without understanding, you only have a little bit of power. So we're going to go through the foundational understandings that make this so absolutely crazy different way of looking at things. I'll give you word-for-word techniques. We're going to go into mindset. I'm going to teach you things about mindset that help you establish a realistic motivation and informed enthusiasm. So you no longer have to rely on having a good day to make your outreach, to make your sales calls, to set appointments. What if, and I don't know how well you can stop, and quickly and easily, just imagine yourself having a consistent motivation that's not dependent on the events of the day or your feelings in the moment, but it's informed, and it's an informed enthusiasm and a realistic motivation. So that you don't have to rely on lucky streaks. You ever have a day where you can't wait, you roll out of bed and there's something going, or something happened, you had a great dream, or you talked to yourself on the inside, you had great sleep, and you just went at it, and you set those appointments, and you closed those deals, and then something bad happened. You got a no, and then someone flaked, and then you got another no, and pretty soon your day went into the shitter, and you started thinking, why am I doing this? Or you had to pump yourself up, rah, rah, rah. Yes, yes, I can do it. The problem with that kind of motivation is it tends just not to last, and it's exhausting. I'm going to show you how to take on a mindset. When we get to my favorite section, Brockton says, Garmo the Wind. So how would you like to get off that motivation roller coaster and have a steady, consistent motivation that turns every no into now? So when they say no, you say now. I'm going to teach you that kind of motivation towards the end part of the day. And then to be transparent, towards the end of the day, I will extend an invitation to those of you who think to yourself, I want to continue learning with Paul. So again, everything I'm doing is transparent, coming from a place of offering tremendous value, because I believe if you're going to sell in any way, you have to offer value. You have to believe in what you're doing. So the other thing, finally, is I'm going to be presenting language patterns. You're going to see that. When I present the language patterns, we learn them in a certain way. You won't learn them by reading along with me first. So when I present a language pattern, what I'm going to instruct you to do is close your eyes and listen to me read it a couple of times. Then open your eyes. We're going to go through the slide. We're going to workshop it together. From time to time, I'm also going to ask for ahas. So if you have ahas, when I ask for them, I'd like you to raise your hand, and I'll call on as many of you as I can. So if you're excited to get off that motivation roller coaster, if you're excited to get off the cash flow roller coaster because you're closing more deals and you're doing it in a fun way. See, I believe sales can not only be super more lucrative for you, but it can be fun. If all I did is make sales super more lucrative for you, that would be a fantastic, fantastic gift. And I would be so blessed as a teacher to do that. But what if you could not only raise your closings by 10-15%? I'm actually holding it down. I've had people write to me. See, I am the semi-handsome guy on the cover of this book. That's me. I dress up and clean up nicely. I've had people write to me and tell me just by reading my book, their sales have gone up by 50, 60%. I talked to my coach about this, and he said, you can't say that because people won't believe it. Keep it down to like 10 to 15%, even though you'll deliver more than that. I see people are already asking questions. I can't take questions at this point. It would interrupt the flow of things. There will be a time when I do ask for questions. And so this, as far as possible, I don't want to make it a lecture. I want to make it a two-way transaction. There will be times to take questions and to ask for ahas. And when that takes place, then I will ask for that. Okay? A little bit about me before we get going, just so you know, and I don't like talking about myself, believe it or not. Let's start my screen share, and I'm going to share this, and we're going to start the show from the beginning. And I hope you will be patient with me because technology is a little bit new to me. So I'm going to put that over there. And let us start the share. So we will be starting in just a minute, that says, but we are already started. So let's get going. So welcome to Secrets of Subtle Subconscious Selling and Street Fight NLP, how to sell anything to anyone, anytime, and become an influence master. This is going to go beyond selling and into the realm of being able to influence people in your personal life. I believe when you do transformational teaching, that transformation tends to spread out throughout every area of your life. Part of what I've been doing for 30 years, and some may not be familiar with it, is I've studied and taught and trained neurolinguistic programming. I've done it all over the world to tens of thousands of people. And for me, NLP, and we'll get into it a little bit later more about what it is, but basically it comes down to two things. It's the study of how language structures consciousness, shapes decisions, and drives behavior. So write that down in the chat window. Structures consciousness, shapes decisions, drives behavior. Language is powerful. The person with the right words, the most powerful words, is the person who wins. And the second thing is it's a study of human excellence. In NLP, we look at people who do something really well. We take out the structure of that talent, what they believe, their attitudes, how they stay motivated. We take out that structure and we teach people who want to take on that excellence. So one of my skill sets, I won't be able to demonstrate it today, is to take someone who's the number one person on your team, take the structure of their talent that may be mysterious to you and even mysterious to them, and teach you how to take on your talent, their talent. So if you're on a team, a sales team of some kind, and you're excited about the idea of being able to basically copy or take on the talent of someone who's the number one or number two or number three person on your team, then that's something that's an advanced training. I can't deliver that here, but that's part of what NLP does. So let us move on. I guarantee you that I will accidentally go backwards and forwards with slides. Please be patient with me. So you have come to the right place if you're ready to powerfully, and I want to add this word ethically, add top dollars to your bottom line by subconsciously and ethically triggering your prospects to convince themselves to buy. So let's unpack this. First of all, I want to address ethics, the ethics of subconsciously influencing people. First of all, why is it necessary to influence people subconsciously? Well, it's not necessary, but it sure as heck helps. It helps a tremendous amount. Because here's the deal. People actually make decisions, as we know, emotionally. They make them on the unconscious level, the subconscious level. I use those terms interchangeably. And then they come up with reasons to justify it. They come up with rationalizations to justify why they do what they do. The greater understanding here from this slide and from this teaching is not just in terms of sales, but most of our decisions are on autopilot. Human beings, whether we want to accept it or not, are profoundly and basically and largely on autopilot. They go through their day without really thinking through their decisions. So if we really want to do something powerful, we have to be able to influence on the unconscious level. Now, I believe you can do that ethically. I believe that if you're in service to other people, then you can ethically influence them on the subconscious level. I'm going to give you a metaphor for that on in a second, in the next slide. But who thinks that the ability to influence more powerfully can be an ethical and great thing? So 7 in the chat window, or hell yeah in the chat window, if you'd like to be able to double, triple, quadruple your ability to powerfully influence people in a positive way. And I'm going to skip, you're going to see that I'm going to teach in ways that may skip over slides, repeat slides, because here's the thing. Get ready for this. I'm about to give you a batshit, mind-blowingly different way of understanding selling. To me, selling is not about getting your ideas into your prospects' minds. It's about expanding their minds, expanding their consciousness to include your ideas. Now, that is a crazy paradigm-changing way of looking at selling. Looking at selling is expanding the consciousness of your prospects. Who would ever think that selling is about expanding consciousness? But that is what I'm going to be teaching you today. It's a completely different way of looking at things. Now, here's the thing. It's the very way of thinking, acting, behaving, and responding that stands so far outside of the way you're used to doing that bear the potential of bringing you results that are so much greater than those that you're used to enjoying. So I know that's a crazy way of looking at things. So let's type that down in the chat window. Selling is about expanding your prospect's consciousness to include better ideas. Write that in the chat window. Selling is about expanding your prospect's consciousness to include better ideas and better choices, better possibilities. How does that make you feel when you discover, when you now recognize that you're not pushing in or selling a product or service, you're expanding your prospect's consciousness to include new possibilities, a new sense of deservingness, a new sense of capabilities. See, people have beliefs about their sense of identity, their sense of deservingness, their sense of possibility, their sense of capability. When you effectively sell, you're expanding all of that. Now, do you think that's only going to stick with that one purchase that they make from you? No. When you expand people's consciousness and improve their sense of what they deserve, what's possible for them, what they're capable of, what they can enjoy, when you do that, do you really think it's only going to stay in that one narrow context? No, it's going to expand throughout their life if you do it properly. If you do selling properly, you're not just expanding choices around that one thing or that one business opportunity. And by the way, I'm hooked on this. This is focus. I do all my creativity. I actually finished the slides for this presentation in 3 hours instead of 5 days. So I love this stuff. In any case, what I'm saying is the idea, how excited would you be as you wake up in the morning and you set your appointments and you go to those appointments and you make your sales presentations? How excited will you be as you now recognize you're not just selling that opportunity, you're expanding your prospect's entire sense of what they deserve in the world if you do it right, if you do it right. Here's the thing. Your prospects don't come to you with a blank slate. They don't come to you with a state of mind that's open, that's ready, that believes, yes, they deserve this opportunity of whatever it is you're selling, that they believe in themselves. They're not coming to you in that state of mind. States of consciousness are important. A lot of this teaching is going to be about states of consciousness. You as a salesperson are a consciousness engineer. You're not someone who's selling products or even opportunities. Yes, that's true. But first and foremost, you are a consciousness engineer. I'm going to unpack what that means. It's your job as a salesperson to engineer, to be the architect of the states of consciousness for your sales, for your prospect or your client. You see, your prospects are not coming to you with an expanded sense of what they deserve. They're coming to you looking through a narrow, as a metaphor, a narrow little keyhole, of what's possible for them. They're looking through their fears, their limitations, their confusion, their overwhelm, their lack of focus. And by the way, that last thing I said to you, no pun intended when I say lack of focus. Nowadays, your biggest enemy to the sale, your biggest challenge to your sale is not skepticism. It's not cynicism. It's not your competition. It's simply overwhelm and lack of focus. Nowadays, people have the attention span of a goldfish, basically. I remember back when YouTube first started. I'm a little bit spry. I'm 35. Well, I celebrated my 35th birthday in September times one and a half, but I still feel young because I take care of myself, as you can see. I know there are ladies on the call. Look at these guns. So they're looking at you through that narrow little keyhole. Your job is to open up that keyhole, turn them around, and have them look through that picture window of possibilities. So expanding your prospect's vision to include better possibilities, a stronger sense of what they can do in the world, a greater sense of deservingness, better choices that you provide, that's not only positive, it's heroic. What you are doing as a salesperson is heroic once you understand that the selling is not just about getting them to make a better choice. Selling is about expanding their sense of possibility, whether you know it or not, overall, and that is heroic. When you take people from zero to hero, you yourself are heroic. So I just want to get some feedback in the chat window. Are you loving this? Is this amazing to you? Let's get a hell yeah, I want more. I want to see some hell yeah, I want more. And is this blowing your mind, the idea that you are a consciousness engineer? David says it's genius. Thank you. The idea that you are a consciousness engineer. It's pretty crazy, isn't it? I'm pretty batshit crazy. What I teach is batshit crazy, but I don't care. I like that. My mother taught me that to be batshit crazy is okay. So expanding your prospect's vision to include better possibilities, better choices, and more importantly, a deeper sense of deservingness. That's not only positive, it's heroic. So in a moment, I'm going to ask you all to chant something out loud. I want you to chant this out loud. Are you ready to chant this out loud? Say it now and say it loud. I am a hero and I am proud. Let's say it all together. I want to hear you shouting it, even though I can't hear you. I'm a hero. And I am proud. I am a hero and I am proud. I am a hero and I am proud. One more time. I want to hear you shouting it. I don't care where you're joining from. Joining from Dallas to Dubai, from Houston to Haiti, from Rochester to Russia. Understand that we are all heroes together. So say it now and say it loud. I'm a hero and I'm proud. How does that now change your sense of motivation about getting up in the morning, recognizing that what you're doing is heroic? You're not just being in service. That's true. To me, selling is service times suggestion. See, I'm going off the slides. I'm already offering more value than I originally thought I would. So I'm going to go off the slides. I'm going to not go off the slides. I'm going to present things that are not on the slides just because it moves me in my heart and in my spirit to share more. So I'm going to do that. Selling is about service times suggestion. If all you do is serve, you lose leadership. If all you do is suggest, you're manipulating. But when you serve and when you suggest, you get a formula that's unbeatable. Now, you have to add into that some actual words and skill sets, which we'll be teaching you. So this is a totally different way of looking at things, but I'm so excited already. This is amazing. Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Thank you for the gift of letting me teach. I think you can already see my excitement and my passion. I like to say that teaching is the most fun I can have with my clothes on. And at my age, it's probably the most fun I can have. Hey, PMB family, come up with something, that nitric oxide product soon, because this old man needs it. Whoever's in PMB and can tell me when that product is coming out, I'm going to buy cases and cases and send it out to all of my friends. So if anyone's in PMB and can tell me when that product is coming out, thank you. And I'm going to be all over that. I'm going to buy cases. Now, here comes, I did tell you that there's going to be interruptions. Here is NECA Jane. Hey, Riley, can you get NECA out of my hair? NECA is my executive director. Go on. Come on, NECA. Go play. Get out of here. Daddy's teaching. I'm so happy. Thank you from my spirit for letting me do this and to share and to teach. I really love this. So I want to review just for a second. So selling is about being a consciousness engineer. You're going to engineer states of consciousness through which your prospects can expand their sense of possibility, their sense of capability, their sense of deservingness, and over time, their sense of identity. One of the things I didn't tell you is I do a lot of change work. I do a lot of private coaching where I do change work. I change people's beliefs. And one of the things I've learned is people have beliefs about four things: their sense of capability, what they can do, their sense of possibility, well, is it possible for anyone in the world, their sense of deservingness, yeah, I'm capable of it, it's possible to do, but I don't really think I deserve it, and then their sense of identity. I know as a change worker, that's the hardest thing to do, to change people's sense of identity, because they have all these unconscious messages that say, I can't do it. They have all these memories of failure. I can't do it. When you do this right, you begin to creep into that sense of identity and slowly begin to shift that. When you begin to train people, particularly if you're in a network marketing opportunity, here's the thing I want you guys to get excited about. When you do network marketing and you change the sense of possibility of that person on your team so they start winning, you also begin to change their sense of identity. They go from being a person, and it's not just the products, and the products are great. I don't want to sound like an advertisement for, I know there are many people here who are not in network marketing, but it applies to everyone. When you change their sense of possibility, over time, that begins to ripple across contexts in their life. We call it transformational change. There's incremental change. So if you come to me and say, Paul, I'm afraid of snakes. Can you get rid of my snake phobia? I can do that. Yes, I can get rid of your fear of snakes. That's an incremental change. But a transformational change is, oh, wait a minute. I don't have to be afraid of all the things I was afraid of in my life. So over time, if you really do this well, you can transform them on that level. So it really is a heroic thing to do. I'm looking at the comments, and they're really, really liking this. So thank you. So here's the key understanding. Oops, wait a minute. So I'm already screwing up there. Key understanding. Selling is about structuring states of consciousness, both for yourself and for your prospect. So let me start by giving you a metaphor. And this is not a trick question. We're going to conduct a current of electricity. We're going to conduct a current of electricity. We're going to conduct through two mediums. We have a choice. We can conduct it through a sheet of gold foil or a sheet of cardboard. Which one of those two things is going to conduct the electricity better? This is not a trick question. So let's see some answers in the chat window. Which is going to conduct electricity better, a sheet of gold foil or a cardboard? Gold foil, gold, gold, gold. Everyone's saying the foil, gold. That's right. So consider that the words you're going to say when you do your influencing, when you do your selling, are like the electric current. But the state of consciousness in which you're in and in which your prospect is in is the conductive medium. You got to get the conductive medium right before you worry about the words. So many people are concerned about what's your elevator pitch, what's your unique selling proposition. That's all great. But before you ask the question, what is the product I'm going to sell? What is my pitch? What is my script? Those things are important, but here's my revolutionary teaching to you. The first thing you need to ask is, what state of consciousness do I want to be in when I go to sell? What's my conductive medium? And what state of consciousness do I want my prospect to be in? What is the conductive medium do I want them to be in, such that they receive my message through that state of consciousness? Do we understand that? Can I get a hell yes if you're understanding that metaphor? Do you understand that metaphor? We're getting lots of hell yeses in the chat window. I am loving the fact that you guys are getting this. And is this a new idea, that selling is about structuring consciousness? Can I get a F yes? Can I get a F yes if this is a new idea, that selling is about structuring consciousness? This is a completely different way of looking at things. But as I said, when you take on a new paradigm, when you take on a completely different way of looking at things, then you begin to see the magic that other people cannot see. They cannot see it because they don't have these understandings. They may be able to imitate your words. People could potentially tape record you doing a sale using this stuff, but they'll never be able to use it because they don't understand how much of it is about consciousness. So key understanding number one, selling is about structuring states of consciousness. I used to be a dating coach. I still do some of that. And I used to tell my students, stop worrying about how do I get her phone number? How do I get her to kiss me? Instead, think, what states of consciousness do you want her to be in? What emotional experiences and states of consciousness do you want her to be in, to be looking at you through, such that those behaviors are something she naturally wants to give you? This is a fundamental understanding of subtle subconscious selling. This is the fundamental bedrock root understanding, the soil throughout all the flowers, that beautiful garden, those flowers and that life that you're going to bring to people and to yourself are going to go from. This is the soil. These are the seeds that we need to plant first. We need to get the conceptual understanding. So as you see, I'm not just teaching something different. I'm teaching differently. I'm teaching the conceptual stuff. And by the way, just to let you know, once an hour or so, we're going to take like a 10-minute break because this is such overwhelming stuff. So I don't want to overwhelm too much. I want to skillfully overwhelm you. I want to overwhelm you just enough that your brain floods with those endorphins that make you more attentive, but not so much that you... So we will be taking brain breaks. So here's an exercise. What states of consciousness and frames of mind would be most useful for yourself that will serve you throughout the sales and influence process? Well, I'm going to go through some right here. How about being interested in the sale, but being invested in your skills? This is when I studied champions. One of the things I do is study champions in every area of life. Most of the time, though, in sales and influence, the best salespeople have this belief, and they don't even know that they have it. One of the things about human talent is people who do things super well are not consciously aware of how they do it. But as I began to use NLP and model expert salespeople, didn't matter what they were in, financial services, I've trained people in financial services, real estate, mortgage, network marketing, it doesn't matter. The top people were interested in the sale, but they were invested in their skills. I want you to stop and think, what would that mean for your selling? If you were interested in that one sale, but you were invested in your skills, what would that do to your fear of hearing no? Sound is going in and out, so let's make sure the sound is good. Can you all hear me? So if you can hear me well, type yes, loud and clear. Okay, good. Good, 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 good. Everyone can hear me. So interested in the sale, but invested in the skills. To unpack that, let me give you a metaphor. In a breakfast of bacon and eggs, one animal is interested and one animal is invested. The chicken is interested. The pig is invested. So people who are not excellent salespeople have it asked backwards. They're invested in the sale. They're just interested in their skills. Second, to be outcome independent and process oriented. So what does it mean to be outcome independent? Well, outcome independence means your sense of identity doesn't depend on whether you do well that particular day. You're more interested in the process. You're focused on doing the process well. And finally, you're relaxed, you're focused, you're grounded. And by that, I mean you're actually physically aware of your body. I give an exercise to do in, when I do live trainings, unfortunately. I mean in-person trainings. This is a live training. I give an exercise where people actually get up, they breathe from their belly, they feel their feet on the ground. They put 20% of their attention on the feeling of their feet pressing on the ground and the rest of their attention outward. This is a little trick. I'm going to give you a little mind hack right here, a confidence hack. If you're out making a sales call, a presentation, an appointment, and you ever feel that you start to lose it, just ground into your feet. Whether you're sitting or standing, put 20% of your attention on the feeling of your feet on the ground. You could try that right now. I'm sure you're all sitting. But as you're sitting there, put 20% of your attention of your feeling of your feet on the ground. Close your eyes. So I hope you're not driving. If you're driving, ignore this instruction. But everyone, close their eyes. Put 20% of your attention on the feeling of your feet on the ground. And as you put 20% of your attention on the feeling of your feet on the ground, breathe from your belly. Now open your eyes, but continue to feel your feet on the ground. Breathe from the belly and notice how more alert, more focused you are. I keep on bringing focus. I'm not subliminally trying to sell the product, but do you feel how it's different? And then finally, look at this last bit here. Sufficiently, efficiently friendly. Look at this distinction. Sufficiently, efficiently friendly. Let's unpack this because words are powerful. I don't waste words as a teacher, particularly someone who's in love with language. Words are not to go to waste. For me, wasting words would be like you ladies wasting dark chocolate. I know maybe that's a little sexist. I didn't mean it to be. Think of your favorite snack. It would be like throwing it in the trash when you waste words. So I want to be efficient with my words. What does it mean to be sufficiently and efficiently friendly? One of the barriers I've discovered in training people over 30 years and when I first started out is I just wanted to be liked too much. I just wanted to be liked too much. You know, I watched my parents sell real estate. My parents were very friendly, very warm, very wonderful people, but they were more interested in being friends and being liked by the people who they were selling homes to than they were in, frankly, closing the sale. I don't even like the term closing the sale. Listen to that word, that languaging. You're not closing anything. You're opening the conclusion and completion of that wonderful value-giving transaction. You're opening the completion of a wonderful value-giving transaction. You're opening a new opportunity. So what does it mean to be efficiently friendly? It means you're friendly enough where you have some compassion and some empathy for the other person, but you're not so friendly that you become a people pleaser. If you become a people pleaser, and there's nothing wrong with being pleasant. There's nothing wrong with wanting other people to be happy. But if you become a people pleaser, and by that I define the most important thing to you in your world is being liked. I had a big falling out with a dear friend of mine who is amazingly good at networking and being popular. We had a dispute about something another friend was doing. And I said, I have no apologies for saying the things I said. I said, my life fundamentally doesn't come down to being a popularity contest. Folks, life is not a popularity contest. Ultimately, life is about standing up for what you believe in. Ultimately, leadership, I believe, is about two things. Yes, it's about enrolling other people in your vision, but it's also about speaking truth to power. It's about the notion that speaking my truth is more important to me than making the sale. Speaking my truth is more important to me than making the date. Speaking my truth is more important to me than making you like me. So we want to be sufficiently and efficiently friendly. Someone once said, you can't sell when you're leaning back on your heels. Well, I'm here to say you can't sell if you're on some level subcommunicating, please like me, even if it's not in your words. If your tone of voice, if your body language, If your energy shifts when you go to get them to sign the contract, how many times have you found that to happen? Your energy is great when you're presenting the opportunity, but when it comes time to have them sign the contract, your energy shifts into desperation or please like me or uh-oh, what if? So one of the things that I teach, and I don't have time to teach it here, I'm not teasing you, there's only so much we can do in the 4 or 5 hours we have together, is how to keep that energy consistent. Energy is a huge part of selling effectively. Write that down in the chat window. Can we have people write that in the chat window? Energy is a huge part of selling effectively. Energy is a huge part of selling effectively. You know what I'd like to do? I'd like to get some aha's. Let's get some aha's. So if you want to share an aha, raise your hand. Raise your hand if you'd like to share an aha of what you've gotten so far. I see so many people are raising their hands. So let's go to, let's see. Wow, look at all these people. Let's go to Michelle. Let's see. How can I, Michelle, I'm just learning this technology. So I'm clicking on you. And how do I do this? Okay, Michelle has raised her hand. Adam, you're a panelist. If you can get in here, and I'm so sorry, guys. I'm trying to figure out this technology. Left corner of the mic with let me see. La 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 la. I'm so sorry. Okay, so let's take your share by typing it in the chat window. So her mic is red. Okay, I get it. So let's go to participants. I got it. Let's go to Michelle. Michelle, we're headed for you. Just give me a second. Which Michelle was it? It was Michelle. Wow. Michelle Raz. Okay. I have so many windows open. I'm so sorry. Forgive me, guys. This is new. All right. Wait a minute. I'll get it, guys. I'm so sorry. I am an excellent teacher, but when it comes to this stuff, Michael McFadden, I'm sorry. Michelle. I'm trying, guys. This is where I kind of... Okay. Are you the person? Is it that, Michelle? We'll take a share from you anyway. So you are on, you're unmuted. No, maybe that's the wrong person. Okay, I'm sorry, guys. We're gonna move on. We're gonna move on because I don't wanna, well, I'll figure that out later. So let's keep going. I don't wanna interrupt the flow of this too much. My apologies. Oh, I'm allowing you to talk. Go ahead, Michelle. What is your share?
Good morning, Paul.
Are you enjoying this?
Absolutely enjoying it. And the subconscious and the unconscious, what you were talking about, fear creeps up for me, or the, oh, what are they thinking of me? So yes, absolutely loving this. Thank you so much.
Okay. And do you have a share about what you've learned about being appropriately friendly?
Yes, I believe that having their best interests and caring about where they're at and my thoughts around that.
Yes, and also making sure that you keep your outcome in mind. It's okay for you to win. So as long as you're in service of the other person, it's okay for you to win. And that's the balance between being please like me and I'm a people pleaser and also having your outcome in mind. So good. You did a great job. Thank you for that share and that aha. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Paul.
You're very welcome. And let's see if you can mute yourself. I'd really appreciate that because I'm a little bit of a technical up until this moment, I would say this is new for me. So, okay, let's keep moving on. Thank you for that. Aha. I really appreciate it. So here's the next understanding. That's going to blow your mind. Look at this. You're never selling your product or service. You're always selling decisions and good feelings about decisions. This is a fundamentally different understanding. You're never selling your product or service. That's not to say you shouldn't be proud of your product or service. You're always selling decisions and good feelings about decisions. This is good news because language shapes decisions and drives behavior. Fundamentally, if we want to drive people to the behavior of signing the contract or joining the program or making the sale, we have to first get them to make the decision. So you're always selling decisions and good feelings about decisions. Now, why do I say good feelings? Why is it important for you? It's a no-brainer, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Why is it important for us to make sure, excuse me, that our prospects have good feelings about the decisions they make? This is not a difficult question, but in the type window, can we see why is it important? Why is it important for your prospects to have good feelings about decisions that they've made? People are saying it raises buying temperature. Well, I'm talking about having good feelings after they've made the decisions. Why is it important? You don't get buyer's remorse. That's true. If they have, see, it's a good salesperson can get the prospect to make a good decision. But just because the prospect makes a good decision in that moment doesn't mean they'll continue to feel it's a good decision. A great salesperson, a master, also knows how to shape the meaning that people give to their decisions. So if a person makes a decision to buy, you as a master salesperson can subconsciously program, if you will, I'm going to use that term, so that as they're going through the next weeks, months, years, using what you sold them, they're going to continue to feel good about it. When people feel good about the product or service you've given them, what would it be like for you, and I'm going to teach this to you today, if you could subconsciously set an anchor, a post-hypnotic suggestion. So every time they use your product, every time they look at that beautiful flooring that you installed for them, they, on the unconscious level, think, wow, so-and-so did a great job. I'm going to refer business to them. When you do this the right way, and this is a crazy claim, you will get referrals and repeat business without even having to ask for it. And you will avoid what I call the kitchen magnet, pardon me, the kitchen magnet mental masturbation. How many times have you been getting out kitchen magnets and cards? Let me tell you something. Cards and kitchen magnets almost always go in the circular file. I see that Lynn has raised her hand. So Lynn, hang on to that. We'll have you raise your hand. We'll get to your question at the next break. So I appreciate that, but lower your hand and raise it again in about 10 minutes. So the bottom line is you want them to have good feelings about decisions because then you get the two big R's, referrals and repeat business. And the next little piece I want to give you is decisions are state dependent. That means that every decision you make relies on the state you're in. If you're in a state of being angry, have you ever been really mad at your spouse or your significant other? And you're going to make a different decision about how you treat them based on that state, as opposed to if you're in a state of being happy, feeling the endorphins flowing, feeling all cuddly, et cetera, et cetera. So here's another key understanding. I hope you all got that. Dan says, I always give my cold calls two business cards. I tell them one to throw away and one to keep. I want to mention something that Dan said. So let's take time out to look at what Dan said. Dan mentioned the word cold calls. I'm going to change your ability to set appointments right now. Who would like, in just one little reframe, to be able to easily triple the appointments they set and the calls that they make? So everyone say, hell yes. Hell yes. Carla, I see you raise your hands, but we'll take the ahas in about 10 minutes. How would you like to be able to easily make more outreaches? Multiplying by a factor of 3, 4, 5. Neck is crying at the door, my little kid. Here it is. You're never making cold calls. You joyfully extend opportunities. You joyfully make opportunity outreach. So from now on, you are forbidden to say, I have to make cold calls. Instead, you say, I'm going to joyfully extend my opportunities. I'm going to joyfully make my opportunity outreaches. I'm going to joyfully make my opportunity outreaches. What happens when you get rid of the term cold calling? Look at what that metaphor is. Language contains metaphors that can either freeze your world or free your world. Language can take your stumbling blocks and turn them into stepping stones, but you've got to watch your language. How does it change in your thinking when you go from cold calling to warmly extending my opportunity outreaches? Today, I'm going to extend opportunities. Today, I'm going to joyfully make my opportunity outreaches. How does that change? What are you going to do, you people who are in PNB, when it comes to sharing the business opportunity? What if you never thought of, I'm going to make cold calls? And I don't care what you do. There's people from different families here, different industries here, and that's great. What if you no longer thought, I'm going to make cold calls, but I'm going to joyfully make my opportunity outreaches. I'm going to powerfully and joyfully extend opportunities today. Type hell yeah. Type hell yeah if that makes you feel a lot better and a lot more of in service. And here's the other thing. If you're making cold calls, who has the value? And who's seeking the value? If you're making cold calls, who's got the value? The other person has the value. If you're making opportunity outreaches, if you're extending opportunities, you have the value. Have you ever, how can you be afraid when you're giving a gift? If you're trying to get something from someone, you can be in fear. Trying to get something from someone implies lack, implies fear. But when you're extending an opportunity, how can you be afraid? How can you feel anything but good? When you make it about opportunity outreach, today I'm going to joyfully make my opportunity outreaches. PMB is Prime My Body. It's a network marketing thing that I'm into. We don't worry about that for now. Doesn't that change everything? So words are powerful. Throughout this learning together, I'm going to reinforce that words are powerful. We're coming up on about an hour. I want to take a 5 to 10 minute break every hour so we make sure we don't get overwhelmed. So the corollary to this is before you give the facts, data, figures, numbers, first capture your prospect's imagination. First make sure they're in that state of consciousness you write them in. And key understanding number 4, and this is not going to make sense right now, so trust me as your guide. I'm going to teach you how to do this. This is the most powerful skill set. It's also the most difficult to learn. So let me slow down. Let me take a breath. I've got to modulate my excitement. I think you can see I'm very excited. I'm very passionate about this. So I'm going to take a breath. Okay. Modulate your excitement, Paul. Key understanding number 4. Being artfully vague and using implication are the top 2 virtually never taught nuclear weapons of sales, influence, and persuasion. I'll give you a little example right now, but then we're going to unpack this. I'm going to show you word for word later on in the day how to develop this skill. And I guarantee you, this is taught nowhere. Nowhere else in the world will you learn this skill set. But this skill set, and I can't get you to master it here. All I can do is put your first little baby steps on the road here. But this is incredibly powerful. This skill set is not taught or even discussed anywhere else in the world of sales. I'm the only one. I'm going to give you an introduction to it. But here's an example. Let's say I wanted you to get excited about this training today. It was the beginning of the training. I know you're already excited. But let's say at the beginning of a presentation, I said, before I show this to you today, I know you're going to get excited because I'm going to show you how to increase your sales by 15% so you can buy that yacht you've always wanted. What's wrong with being that specific? Can anyone tell me what's wrong with saying, before I show you this business opportunity today, I know you're going to get excited because It's going to increase your sales by 15%, so you can buy that yacht you've always wanted. What's wrong with being that specific? Yeah, it may not be already what you want. They may not believe that number. It's making assumptions. Sounds like a scam. It's limiting. It may not match what's true for you. Seems fake, like you've heard it before. Everyone's giving good responses. This raises their critical factor. George Wood. Wow, George Wood. You are my superstar, George Wood. It raises their critical factor. So what if instead I said something like this? Before we begin sharing this together today and exploring this opportunity together today, I just want to say I'm not sure at what point you'll stop and find yourself growing more and more excited about just what this will do for you. But as that's taking place, I just want to share one thing with you. Will you promise me you'll share the questions that naturally arise when a great decision is going to be made? Would you do that for me? I'll say it again, something like this. Before we explore this opportunity together today, I'm not sure at which point you'll stop and find yourself imagining all the things that this is going to bring for you. But as that's taking place, will you make me one promise? Will you promise me you'll share the questions that will naturally come up when a great decision is being made? Now, does that sound different? Did I say anything specific there? Guys and gals, did I say anything specific there? Nope. It's all vague, but did it sound like it matched your experience? Did you get some kind of sense that I was talking directly to you? And did you get some kind of sense that you were beginning to imagine what it would do for you? But I didn't say anything, gave a sense of wonder and certainty. The picture I made in my mind were specific, though. I imagined exactly what I wanted it to do for me. It bypasses their conscious filters. That's right. When you learn to talk artfully and vaguely, they'll think you understand them completely. And when people feel completely understood, they're ready to be led. I'll say that again. When people feel completely understood, they're ready to be led. They just surrender their critical factor. When you learn to speak this way, you will get people to surrender their critical factor within the first 2 to 3 minutes of speaking with you. VP says it opened their imagination, creating trust with you. Jennifer says, visualize for me. I was willing to ask questions more openly. That's the power of this. That is the power of this. Okay, so you know what I want to do? Let's take a 5-minute brain break. So we're going to leave it at this slide. Let's take a 5-minute break. It's the top of the hour. Will you all say, I promise? So if you promise you'll be back here in 5 minutes, will you all just type in the chat window, I promise? Who here promises to be back in the chat window in 5 minutes to be back for the teaching? Because we all should take a 5-minute break. Take a 5-minute break to stretch, please. 5-minute break to stretch, drink some water, use the restroom, because I've already taught you a lot. I want to acknowledge some of my best friends are on here. Thank you, Malin. Thank you, Juan. So let's take 5 minutes, get a drink of water, stretch, and then we're going to take some shares. So let's take a 5-minute break, okay? 5 minutes, and we'll be back. Wait a minute. I'm going to pause the recording. Okay, we are back. Thank you for being such an attentive and wonderful class and giving me the honor of teaching you. We are back. I thought it's time. Let's review our key understandings from the first hour this morning. I think you already see in this first hour, I'm over-delivering and kind of shifting your consciousness. So some key understandings we got to. We got to the fact that you as a salesperson are doing a heroic job. You're doing a heroic job because your prospects don't come to you with a blank slate. They're coming to you looking through that narrow little keyhole of the fears, their lack of belief in themselves, their lack of sense of possibility, capability, deservingness, identity, and you are going to, when you change their consciousness, you change all of that. We discussed the fact that selling is not about selling your product or service, but you're always selling decisions and good feelings about decisions. We reviewed the idea that selling is about structuring states of consciousness. That first you think, what state of consciousness do I want my prospect to be in? Neca Jane wants to come up. Get down, Pranilla Jones. No. All right. My kittens are here. They're keeping us company. The babysitter will take them out in a minute. So we went through those key concepts. We went through the concepts that you're never selling your product or service. You're always selling decisions and good feelings about decisions. And then we got to this key understanding. So with that in mind, by the way, people are asking, will there be a live event? Yes, once the whole COVID thing is blown over, we don't know the date, but there will be a live event. I love teaching the live event, so we don't know when. All right, so we are back. We are back. So let's get into NLP. I want to take a little sidetrack into NLP because NLP is my prime discipline. Has anyone here taken an NLP training? So let me know. 7 in the chat window if you've done an NLP training before. Bob says yes. William, David B., Landmark, Gretchen, Dustin, Nikki. Some people are familiar with it. But NLP is short for neuro-linguistic programming. And fundamentally, it's technology to model human excellence. So when I do come in and I do VIP training for a team of people, one of the first things I do is I say to the sales manager, who are the top 3, 4, 5 people, the top producers on the team? And they identify them. And I spend a couple hours trailing each one, asking them questions. And I model their language. I model their beliefs. I model their attitudes. I model how they visualize, how they use their tone of voice. Then I get the whole team together and I train the team on how to progressively take that on. So NLP is a technology to model human excellence. It's the study of how language structures consciousness, shapes decisions, and drives behavior. That's what I'm teaching today. And it's a set of ideas about human behavior, how humans interact with the world. I won't go into too much into that. Now, what are the advantages of my system that I call Street Fight NLP? Well, first and foremost, it includes all the best methods of NLP, but it leaves out what I call the seminar self-selection illusion. The problem when you go to an NLP training or a typical NLP seminar, a lot of it works, but a lot of it only works in the seminar room because people are paying a lot of money, a lot of time, travel, the rest of it, at least before this virus hit. And so they're selecting, they're raising their hands and saying, please, please make it work on me. That doesn't happen in the real world. In the real world, people are not begging and ready and just waiting for you to demonstrate your sales tactics. They're not ready to do that. So what I teach, one of the reasons why I think it's better is I teach from the big chunk, as you'll see. I'm going to give you actual word-for-word examples. I'm not going to build small little pieces. I'm going to put back in the teeth and claws. I believe you need every tool you have out there in the world. And finally, everything I'm going to teach you is tested. There's a lot of concepts, but these theories and concepts I'm teaching you have been tested over 30 years. This has been tested over 30 years. So let's move on. Now I'm going to be teaching you some of the methods, the tools, and the word-for-word examples. So who's excited to get some word-for-word examples that you can use? That you can use word-for-word examples that you can use to do your sales, to do your appointment setting, your sales presentations, destroying objections. By the way, again, make sure you're here after lunch because we will be raffling off Amazon gift cards, $10, $20 Amazon gift cards. You have to be present to win. And then finally, at the end of the day, I'm going to be teaching my absolute favorite bit, which is destroying objections. All this stuff is powerful, but destroying objections is the most fun part of it. So make sure you stay to the very end because that's when I'm going to do the bonus training on destroying objections. So let us keep going. So I want to show you a great example. Now here's the way showing examples are going to work. I'm going to read it to you word for word. I'm going to have everyone close their eyes and listen to me read it word for word. I'm going to read it word for word out loud a couple of times. Then we're going to open our eyes and we're going to go through the slides word by word. And then we're going to practice it as a group. So let's see if we all get those rules. So rule number one is I'm going to read it out loud a couple of times. You guys close your eyes so you can hear it. These patterns are meant to be spoken, not meant to be read. So that's what we're going to do first. I'm going to take a sip of water. Then we'll all open our eyes. I'll unpack it for you word for word so we can see the structure, identify all the tools, and then we'll do it together as a group. Seven in the chat window if you understand that structure. Seven in the chat window if you understand that structure. All right. That's the structure of how we're going to learn this. So I'm going to do the language pattern. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes. You'll hear how it flows from me. I'll say it twice so you get it. Then I'll open our eyes. We'll unpack it together, and then we'll do it together as a group, even though I can't hear you. I want to make sure you understand the teaching method. So I created this example for a network marketing client. If you're into network marketing, get excited because this is going to increase your, if I told you how much it's going to increase your sales, you wouldn't believe me. So let's say 10, 15%. If you're in any kind of business, think about how much money you make every month and then add 10 to 15% and write down that number if you can, because that's what this is going to do for you for free. So the context is we're going to use this at the beginning of any presentation, and I don't care how you make that presentation, whether it's in front of a group of people from the stage, whether it's in a small meeting room, whether it's one-on-one. You can use this on your internet videos. If you have a website and you're not putting a beginning greeting video, you're making a big mistake, because video is really important. But what is it going to be like when you embed your video, inside of your video, you embed all this hypnotic, subconscious, persuasive language? What's its purpose? So for any example, for any tool I teach you, it's really important to understand the purpose of the tool. If you understand the purpose of the tool, then it will help you execute the tool much better. So what's the purpose of this tool? It's to create states of rapport, trust, a willingness to believe you, even a childlike suspension of disbelief. So how would you like it if within the first 2 minutes, your prospect, your client, was looking at you through that state of willingness to believe, a childlike suspension of disbelief? Would that be useful? Hell yeah, in the chat window, if that's something you would like. Okay, because this is going to blow your mind. This is going to blow your mind. Hell yeah, hell yeah, hell yeah, hell yeah. I love doing this. Bring it, sensei. Yes, bring it. Dave Wolf said yes. Okay, here we go. So here we go. And first, I want to identify some tools we're going to be using. So we're going to be using, and this we can look at word for word. So let's look at this word for word. We're going to be using very powerful words called implied relationship words. No one has ever taught this before. This is a brand new concept. So everyone put on their thinking caps. Can we all do this? Thinking caps on. Thinking caps on. Turn them up full blast. These six words, let's count them together. One, two, three, four, five, six words are going to increase your sales 15, 20, 30% just using six words. I know that sounds impossible. Who thinks I'm full of bullshit? You can say that in the chat window. You're full of bullshit. Nobody? Maybe you're beginning to believe me that I can actually do this. Okay, so here we go. We, us, share, together, promise, and explore. These are incredibly powerful words because these words imply a relationship of trust. They imply a relationship of sharing and deep connection. When we use these words, we can skip rapport. We can blast right past rapport and get the childlike trust. How many people here have been taught that rapport is important in a sale? Just type 7 in the chat window if you've been told that rapport is important. Well, I say bullshit. You can skip rapport. I know this sounds crazy. It's completely against conventional selling. That's why I said what you're learning from me is not something you can get off the shelf. This is batshit crazy. We can skip rapport and go straight to childlike trust. What if you could skip rapport and go straight to childlike trust? Match and mirror actually doesn't work. Match and mirror is not what creates rapport, it's the result of rapport. Nice. Love batshit crazy bullcrap for batshit crazy. Okay. We'll get to the hand raises in a minute. You need to let me keep going. Can you guys see me? Someone said they lost my video. Can you guys see me? Yep, yep. Someone says just hear you. No, yes, yes. Oh, yes, sir. Not a full screen. Let me see something just a minute. Okay, there I am. Now you can see me. Now you see me. Okay, so we, us, share, together, explore. Let's say these words together. We, us, share, together, explore. We, us, share, together, explore. And these deceptively simple words are going to instantly and subconsciously create a relationship of trust and eagerness to follow you and even a compelling desire to be led. I know that sounds crazy, but here's the example. So here's the word for word example. So everybody, I want everybody to close your eyes. Everybody close your eyes. If you're driving, pull over off the road. And listen to me read this to you. So close your eyes, and I'm going to say it. Before we explore this together today, I just want to share that the more you discover this makes sense for you, the more you might feel a growing certainty, this is the right move to make. I'll say it again. Keep your eyes closed. Before we explore this together today, I just want to share that the more you discover this makes sense for you, the more you might feel a growing certainty, this is the right move to make. Okay, so everybody open their eyes. Everybody open their eyes. Everybody open their eyes. Fantastico. When I said that, what was your inner experience? When I said that, did you get a sense that we were already connected? Did you get a sense that you were going to get excited? Pearl said it was put me in a receptive mode. Michael said I felt it in my heart. It's as if we were taking a journey together. VP said, yeah, man, togetherness. Did it feel like I was going to do something to you, like I was going to make you do something? Brockton says, this is brilliant. Jeffrey, it seemed like you understood me, opened the doors, safety and comfort, guiding. Excited and connected, guiding side by side. Get a few more shares here. It was like a family member, a close friend was talking to me. Ed says it was like a family member or close friend talking to me. Do you understand how this goes beyond rapport? I'm going to just say it. F rapport, screw rapport, create states of childlike trust. It didn't feel threatening. Jeffrey says this is powerful. It made me feel like I was in control. That's right. Pearl, it gave you the illusion of control. But who's really in control? Take a few more shares here. What did you experience internally as you heard me say that? It made me feel like I was in control. Yeah, you. Couple more shares. What did you experience internally as you heard me speak this? Changed your state. It was a feeling of a journey. You spoke to my soul, confidence. I was intrigued. Michael McFadden says, I spoke to your soul. Let's pause just for a minute. What's the difference between getting rapport and making your prospect feel like you're speaking to their soul? Creating a sense of being receptive and open. A state of intrigue. Guys, this is crazy. this batshit crazy professor of neurolinguistic wizardry is telling you rapport is something you could skip over. Yeah, you're on their side. Speaking to their soul sounds like an advanced childlike wonder. Terry got it. Childlike wonder. The harvest is plentiful over at the funny farm. All right, so let's look at this word for word. Let me move my window. Let's parse it. For the first part of the sentence is, I just want to share. I just want to share. Look at that powerful word, share. And by the way, throughout the day, you're going to see me rolling these tools forward into the other patterns we're going to be doing. These words are going to continue to show up in the more advanced examples I show you. I just want to share. Now I want to ask you a question. Do we share things with people we don't trust or that we don't have a relationship with? Probably not, at least not important things. When we share, it means we're on the same side of the table. We share with people whom we trust. So what's the difference saying, before I show you this today, and before I share this with you together today? What's the difference between saying, before I show you and before I share with you? See the difference between those one word, the difference in the word share and the difference between the word show. What's the difference between how many of you in whatever business have to present a business opportunity, have to present a plan, explain a plan, have to make a presentation before a board of directors? And you say something like, well, before I show you this today, I just want to invite you all to ask whatever questions come up. When you show someone something, you're doing something to them. But when you say, I just want to share, oh, wow. Now you're implying, number one, that you're giving, so you're giving value. When you give through the principle of reciprocity, people have to give back. That's the principle of reciprocity. Well, what do people give you? They give you their attention. Is it important nowadays to get people's attention and to keep it? Oh, yeah. So that one word share is creating a sense of a relationship of trust. It's also creating unconscious reciprocity, so people are going to share back with you. What do people have to share back to you? Their focus. So this is creating trust and it's creating focus. Why is it important to create focus nowadays? Because nowadays, people have the attention of a goldfish. People are walking around with their face and their cell phone. If you are in sales, especially if you're an attorney, your number one enemy is not your competition. It's not your lack of confidence. It's not your product. Or that your prospects don't trust you, although that's one thing. It's that they're just simply checked out. Using this one word creates trust and it creates focus. That's the power of one word. Is this blowing your mind? Is this mind-blowing, the idea that one word can create trust and create focus? Riley, do you want to let, do you want to let Pranilla out? The cat sitter is here. Boom. This is pretty crazy, isn't it? You won't learn this in conventional sales training, folks, because they don't know this stuff. They're looking at it through their narrow lens of yes ladders and tag questions. Learning is important, is it not? See, we're skipping through the tag questions and the yes ladders and the fake choices and all that other bullshit that's worn out, that insults your prospect's intelligence and makes you feel like a schmuck. Oh, NECA Jane, you can come up for a minute. You want to take NECA out of the room? I did tell you I have fur children. NECA wants to share with Daddy. Take her out. Sorry, guys. So this one word is that incredibly powerful. So let's go back. Sorry, guys. Let's go back. I just want to share. Now, the next thing we say is, the more you discover, this makes sense for you. That's an example of a suggestion. This makes sense for you is a suggestion. The more you discover, this makes sense for you. Now let's look at this. Am I saying what makes sense for them? Let's go back to the original example just for a second. Before we explore this together today, let's look at these words, explore and together. I just want to do this a slightly different way than I put in the slide, so bear with me. Look at this word together. Let's look at this word together. So we explore and together. When we do things together, that implies what? That implies that we are in some kind of trusting relationship. Do you do things together with someone who you don't trust? Do you do things together, at least pleasant things together, with someone who you don't have some kind of connection to? Andrew says there's so much packed into this. Michael says it's extraordinary, brilliant. Nice implication with before. That's very good. Someone caught that. We'll get to there. That's a presupposition. So before we explore this together today, teamwork implies teamwork. Here's the word share. I just want to share that the more you discover this makes sense for you, the more you might feel a growing certainty this is the right move to make. So I just want to unpack something here. There's another tool we're using here, and that's a suggestion. The more you discover this makes sense for you, this is known as a suggestion. And it's also very vague. Are we saying how it makes sense for them? Are we saying when it will make sense for them, or in what way, or when? Why? How would it be different if I said, the more you discover that the compensation plan and the features and benefits and the way in which you're going to be making your payments makes sense for you? Why am I not being specific here? Why do I leave it vague? Why do I say, the more you discover this makes sense for you? If I'm specific, it may not match their experience. But when I say, the more you discover this makes sense for you, they have to fill in the blanks for themselves. Are you guys getting this? Yes, 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 yes. Carl is getting it. The more you discover this makes sense for you. And let's get going. So let's take a back step to suggestions. Suggestions take the form of, and again, don't worry about taking notes. I want you guys to follow along with me and get the conceptual understandings. You don't need to worry about taking notes because sometime my operations manager is here. In the next 2 to 3 days, we'll have the replay available for you. So you can go through this at your leisure. You can stop it, back up, look at the recording. So take a deep breath. Let it out. Take another deep breath. Let it out. And relax into understanding that the replay is going to be available for you. Watch as much as you want. It's important instead to participate with me. Look at me. Get the transmission. This is not about memorizing anything. Suggestions take the form of that's happening, as that's happening, as that's taking place. This makes sense for you. A great decision is being made. I do want you to look at this one. A great decision is being made. This phrase right here is going to increase your sales by 15%. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 words. Who's excited about 6 words that are going to increase your closings by 15%? Who would like to increase your closings by 15% with 6 words? Can we get a F yeah if you would like to increase your closings with 6 words? And I know this seems batshit crazy. Here's the thing. People say to me, how do you prove that this stuff works? I say, your best proof is your own results. Go out and use this stuff. See for yourself. It's going to shock you. Over and over, I hear, I've taught this for 30 years. Over and over, 90% of the time, the response I get from my clients is, I didn't believe it would work. I went in there thinking you were full of shit, to tell you the truth, Paul. And I laughed out loud the first few times it worked. I said, yeah, I told you so. A great decision is being made. I know I said don't memorize anything, but if you have a piece of paper or something you can write with, take 1 minute. I do want everyone to take 1 minute. This is the only thing I'm going to ask you to write down throughout the whole day. So type it somewhere or write it down on a piece of paper. I'll give everyone a minute. 1 minute and write down that phrase, a great decision is being made, because that phrase is going to increase your sales and even your ability to get people to make appointments with you and to keep appointments. So everyone, take a minute and write that down. A great decision is being made. Can we just do that? Wow, we still have 104 people with me. We're still on the call. That's amazing. I'm so excited. Everyone write that down. A great decision is being made. I'm going to show you later on in the day, you're going to see me using this over and over and over. It is my all-time world-beating, money-making suggestion of all time. In 30 years, this has made me and made my clients in aggregate. If you counted all the money my clients have made and I've made, this is millions and millions of dollars off of these six words. So write that down. This is the only thing I'm going to ask you to memorize throughout the day. You can screenshot it. Go ahead and screenshot it. All right, let's move forward. Let's parse this example for more suggestions. Feel a growing certainty. Again, that's a suggestion. Are we saying what they're going to be certain about? Are we saying you're going to feel a growing certainty that this compensation plan is going to bring you that 15% increase in your income that you're going to use to get braces for your daughter? We're being vague. Throughout this, we're being vague. When you're vague, they have to fill in the blanks for themselves. So not only is there no resistance, not only do they imagine already having bought from you, but they trust you. It gives them the sense that you understand them on the deepest level. When you feel that someone understands you on the very deepest level of what you're thinking, does that create mistrust? Do you stop trusting people if you feel that they deeply understand you? Or does it create deep trust? What is it like for you? What is your experience? When you stop and you're feeling deeply led, you're feeling deeply understood. You're feeling like this person is looking right into your soul and they understand you. What does that do for you in terms of your willingness to buy now? What does that do in terms of your willingness to be led? It's very, very, very powerful. Now, there's something else going on there. This is a secret word, this word growing. I could have said feel a certainty, but the word growing implies momentum. Growing implies that that feeling is going to continue to build throughout the conversation. I could have said you'll feel a certainty. That's powerful. But that word growing is another magic word. I'm lying. See, I lied. I said don't write things down. Write down the word growing, please. That's another magic word. If I say feel a growing desire, isn't that stronger than saying feel a desire? Because growing implies momentum. Growing implies more speed, more power. When you use that word growing, it takes that whole chain of suggestions and it says to the unconscious mind, step on the gas. That word growing takes your whole chain of suggestions and it steps on the gas. That one word is a multiplier. That one word can take the power of your suggestions, multiply it by two or three times. So you see, I'm booming in, powerfully booming in, booming in. And Michael says growth is from the soul, growing and expanding. I'm just looking. Cache says feeling heard and understood is healing. Feeling understood makes you also want to understand them. Beautiful. Jennifer, what a share from Jennifer. Thank you, Jen. Jen is from my Stigula family. Growing is from the soul level. So I'm going to say being vague requires them to fill in the blanks with their own thoughts, removing the possibility and the need to resist. So look at this. You're creating trust. You're creating focus. You're creating a childlike willingness to be led. You're creating a sense of reciprocity that they have to give back to you. You're doing it in the space of two senses. I want you all to say, hallelujah. I'm getting, I feel a spirit here. I'm getting evangelical about this. I don't mean to insult you if you're religious. God bless you. We need faith in these times. We really do need faith in these times. And I'm saying I am just feeling such a spirit of enthusiasm here. I really, really am. See the power of this? Look at what you're creating in one or two sentences. Let's go back to the entire pattern. Let's get out of order. Screw getting out of order. Let's go back to the whole beautiful sentence. And let's read it together out loud. Now that we've unpacked it, let's read it together out loud on the count of three. One, two, three. Before we explore this together today, I just want to share that the more you discover this makes sense for you, the more you might feel a growing certainty, this is the right move to make. Let's say it together one more time. Before we explore this together today, I just want to share that the more you discover this makes sense for you, the more you might feel a growing certainty, this is the right move to make. PMB family, I want to encourage you, before you present the business opportunity, share your story of what it's done for you, and then share this, and watch what happens to your sales. Oh, man. Okay, so let's skip through. We already did this. Hillgrove, being vague. Bonus principle, there's a time to be specific and a time to be vague. There is a time to be specific and a time to be vague. This is an advanced thing. The general rule is when presenting, always be vague before you get specific with the numbers, data, and figures. This is an advanced concept. Everybody say brain break. Will everybody say brain break? Everyone type in the chat window, brain break. I love that one. Okay, that was our brain break. Let's review. So what did we learn in that last example? What is that last example going to allow us to create? Let us raise some hands if you have a share. Let's give some shares. So raise your hand.